Maybe you won't, but that's okay. I'll tell you why I think it's interesting. And I'd like to ask a question and see if see what your thought is on it first. Exodus chapter 38.
Exodus.
Did I say Leviticus first? I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 38. Pardon me. That's why it was so interesting. Leviticus 38. Pardon me. Exodus chapter 38. Well, actually, look at verse 37. Chapter 37. Exodus 37, verse 25. Now we're in the part of Exodus where Bezalel is making the furniture. Exodus 37, verse 25. He made the incense altar of acacia wood, and it gives the details. Chapter 38, verse 1. He made the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood, and it gives the details. God gave the details of the burnt offering, and then a couple chapters later, he told how to make the offering of incense. When Bezalel and others were working to make these altars, Bezalel decided to make the incense altar first. Why? There's no specific reason given, but it just struck me that I think this is maybe the only time that there's sort of a little deviation in what Bezalel did compared to what God gave. Is he being disobedient, or can we make any other applications or thoughts? What do you think?
Maybe it's because prayer is made first for forgiveness. I don't know. That's just a thought. Mm-hmm. Prayer is made first for forgiveness. Then comes the knowledge that there is propitiation for the one that's pleading. And that's the altar for the sacrifices. So you have the knowledge of that sacrifice that was sufficient for you. Mm. I don't know. It's just a thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mark?
I often, you know, when you ask, when we're preparing and you ask that question, because I kind of recognize that difference as well. And sometimes I just think it might have been a pragmatic decision, but a pragmatic decision that has a lesson for us. He was working with gold, right? If you start from the ark, the table, the candlestick, or the lampstand, sorry, and now the altar. He was working with gold. And so working with that singular material, he would take care of all of the gold items first. And then he would go on to this different metal in terms of the laver and the burnt brazen altar. I would suggest that, you know, the thought there is he was taking care of all of the things that were inside the building. And being inside that building, which I think we want to walk away, because like Joe said, it's not so much about us now. Right. It's about what's in this building that's before the eye of God, which he wants us to take appreciation, and it's all about Christ.
Very nice.
Just one other comment. It's, I think Craig was mentioning earlier that with God, it's coming from glory out toward man. Mm-hmm. And man who falls short of his glory comes from without and approaches God. So the altar of incense is there, maybe because, well, the only prayer that's effective for forgiveness is Jesus' prayer, like in the high priestly prayer in John 17. He prayed for us. So he prayed for us. Then he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he went to the cross. So the prayer came before the sacrifice. I don't know. Another thought.
Mm-hmm. Just like to go back to Craig's thought. Craig mentioned John 4. Those that worship must worship in spirit and truth. And it's often, we're often taught that the word spirit there is a little less. And it's not the Holy Spirit, but it's our spirit. And I think that's, this is very important, because we're created, this is a great subject for another conference, but we're created in the image of God. God's a triune being, and we are created in a triune way as well. We are, what would you say? I want to hear you say it. How are we created? What was it? Thank you. You fell right into it. You did exactly what I wanted you to do. Because when we talk about it, we say body, spirit, or usually body, soul, and spirit, and we put spirit last. But whenever Scripture talks about it, Scripture always says spirit, soul, and body. But we've been so trained by the world to think about our body. And that really comes last in God's thoughts. And but why I say that, and why I bring this up, is the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit. And this, our part of the spirit is the part of us that allows us connection with God. Okay? And so the Spirit of God testifies that with our spirit that we are children of God. That's Romans 8. And the Spirit of God cries Abba Father within us. That's Galatians. But then we can cry Abba Father because we have the Spirit. That's Romans 8. The point being that now when we come to worship, it's only when we're in the presence of the Lord and we're appreciating Him. And the Spirit of God then takes the things of God and makes them precious to us and connects that with our spirit. And then we can offer up the sacrifices of praise to Him. And so we can do it through our head. And we're basically going to the roof, and that's about as high as it goes. Or we can do it from our spirit, from our heart, as we've said, from the depths of our heart, and offer it up. And so that's the importance of that verse in Romans that we often talk about in John chapter 4, that they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. Truth according to the word of God, but spirit, as the Spirit of God has affected my spirit, and my spirit is overflowing to Him.
Perhaps I think we should conclude, and then after Craig's thought, we're going to conclude.
It's a question, actually. Yeah. I thought there are folks who may have the same question, so I figured it'd be helpful just to close on this question if there's other thoughts. One of the verses that was read in Hebrews chapter 9, where it says, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 2, the writer of Hebrews says, a tabernacle was set up in its first room where the lampstand, the table, and the consecrated bread. And it says this was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. So what Moses says is that the altar of incense was in the most holy place, and yet we see the writer of Hebrews say that it's in the Holy of Holies. And there was something that was mentioned before in the earlier, the first passage describing the altar of incense. There's this aspect of on the Day of Atonement, there was the blood that was sprinkled on the altar of incense in addition to the mercy seat. So I wonder if there's some connection there with the Day of Atonement, but I'm not sure. So I don't know if there's, because it's one of those things where folks have seen this as a contradiction. Those who would criticize the word of God would say that Moses says it was in the most holy, it was in the holy place. The author of Hebrews says it's in the Holy of Holies. There's a contradiction.
Good point. Good question. You have any thoughts? Any thoughts about that?
What was the contradiction again?
The question has to do with, in Hebrews chapter 9, it says that inside the veil, the second veil, where the ark was also the golden altar of incense. And clearly, as we have it presented, it's just before the curtain, the veil that was torn at the death of Christ. It's on the other side. It's in the holy place, but not in the Holy of Holies. So is there a contradiction there, or what are some thoughts about that?
There's a verse in Ephesians 12. It's talking about Jesus Christ. It says...
Where?
Which chapter?
Hebrews... Sorry, not Hebrews. Ephesians 3.
Ephesians 3.
Verse 12. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of Him. So if we have boldness and access, then that's a prayer behind the veil. That's a prayer truly in God's presence and communion with Him. I don't know, just a thought.
I think, Craig, what we have there in Hebrews, it's connected to the Day of Atonement. And if you look in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 12, then he shall take the censer, and that's the same word that's used in Hebrews, right? He shall take the censer full of burning coals of the fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And so I think that the what's being referred to there is this here on the Day of Atonement, where they bring the censer inside the veil. And but it's worth looking into a little bit more.
Good. Maybe we can conclude with that. Mark, if you have any closing thoughts, or if you could close
just
in prayer for us.
The one thing that we didn't mention, but you can take the same application, these two pieces also had staves. And so as we're moving through life, that's what we're reminded of. Christ all along the pathway, remembering what he has done for us and always in communion with him always. So let's just close in a word of prayer.
Sorry, there's one more thought in the back. I didn't notice.
Nathaniel? Just a suggestion that maybe it has to do with the work of the Lord Jesus, that the veil was actually rented, mm-hmm. and that now it is seen as if there is no veil anymore. Mm-hmm.